in all of their beauty. I don't have to wander. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply.
Check 1, 2, 3. Check, check, check. Let me just check something, because I can't hear anything. Good morning. Good morning.
Give him, push him a little more.
Yeah. Hello. Good morning.
Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wander. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else is will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where it used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Standing next to me, there was another in the water, holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. My dead left for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire, standing next to me. There is another in the water, holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding what power sets me free, there's a grave that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me. There's another in the fire. Oh, 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 and I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the sound shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And if I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy, come every battle, cause I know that's where you be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you be. I count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you be. I count the joy in every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. We're so glad that you're here at our Inlet Beach service inside Ghost Crab Pizza, and thank you so much for the owner, Rick, that opened up his restaurant here for us this morning. My name is Cindy Kelly, and it is my privilege to be your host this morning, and this is a no-judgment zone. We want you to feel comfortable as you worship with us this morning. If you want to stay seated, stand. You're a gift from God, and we recognize that this morning. For those of you that are following us online, you can download our the worship folder from our website. We are streaming on that website, and you can follow along. Welcome to you also. And if you would, just punch in and how you came about finding us, and let us know that you're there. We want to acknowledge you also. For those of us here in Ghost Crab Pizza at our worship service here, you'll find a connection card in your worship folder. And if this is the first time you're visiting with us, welcome again. And if you'd be so kind to complete that and drop it in the buckets at the end of the service. If you want to give us some more information about how you found us, that's great also. For members, your name is sufficient. Our mission at Hope on the Beach Church is awakening hearts to Jesus every day. And what does that mean? It is our prayer, our sincere prayer, that when you leave here, that you will take the gospel to where you live, work, and play, awakening those hearts. Pastor Jason will be coming shortly to deliver our message, and we're still walking through the book of Acts. This morning, he's going to center the message at the title, The Heroic Heart. As we enter into this time of worship, we want to be grateful. It is a holy time. We are in the presence of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Holy Father, once again, you've allowed us to gather. And we are so thankful for your presence here this morning. We're thankful for all of those that have gathered here to worship you. We pray, Father, that we will honor you in everything that we do here. May your Holy Spirit descend upon Pastor as he delivers the word of God. We ask, Lord, all of these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Cling, 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 cling. Let's rise and let's worship this wonderful God of ours. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for leading us through the desert places and bringing us to the hilltops. We don't have to worry about anything, Heavenly Father, because you're right beside us. You got our 12, our 6, our 3, and our 9. You're our protector. You're our healer. And we love you. And thank you for your presence here today. Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply. Let's sing that again. Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. Yeah. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry? So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father, again, everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. Every single time, Lord will provide, my Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added, all that I'm needing. I know the Lord will provide. Yeah, I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Let's do that again. Come on. The proclamation. Seek kingdom. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing. I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide everything I need. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasure. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. Yeah. I know my God's not empty.
Hallelujah.
He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide.
Yeah.
I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
It is good to reclaim your promises, Lord, that we pray them out, sing them out, say them out, that our heart would be informed of your truth. I mean, it's so easy to forget. And so, Lord, may these promises of your word, may they just awaken our hearts, may they just rest in our hearts, to keep them pounding with you, your presence, your truths. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. You may be seated. Welcome to the shelter. We're really grateful for Ghost Crab Pizza giving us a place to be able to gather. It is awesome, a privilege and opportunity to be able to do that. Hey, if you want to open up your notes, you can follow along. We are in a series of Acts, and Acts, if you remember, you know, it's the movement. It's talking about a movement. It's an unlikely movement. This is, the church didn't start as some big institution. It started as a movement, and it was an unlikely movement because it started with a very ragtag group of people with no real great education, no strategic partnerships and influence in the community, no money, no buildings, and the leaders didn't have power. But what we're going to see today is that they were heroes. They had the heart of a hero, even though they had very little to work with, but they were truly heroic. You're going to see the results of their heroism, that is, the gospel swept the world and is why you and I are here today. And my hope is you will see this kind of heart. This kind of heart also can be yours. See, a hero is someone who does something that inspires greatness in others. You see, these first Christian heroes didn't start that way, though. Just think about Peter. He was timid. He was fearful. He was unfaithful. He fled at the first sign of any danger or trouble or resistance. He denied even knowing Jesus, yet he became the hero through the experiences of the gospel. And my hope is you will become that type of hero for those around you, the way the first Christians were that type of hero, for those around them and for those in us like us in the future. Even though the gospel movement awakened the hearts through us, it has, and I pray it continues, the question is, has it awakened the hearts in your local community? And when I say local communities, I really mean like really local. I'm talking about your family, your school, your work, your neighborhood. I mean, this is what it's all about. We're really grateful the gospel has swept through the world. Jesus is building his church. He promised to. He is building his church. It has swept through and awakened hearts in the world. But has it awakened hearts around in your community, in your family, in your schools, in your work, in your neighborhoods? So you see, in the gospel, awaken hearts to Jesus through your community. That's what it is. The question is, look, we can't be responsible for everybody. We're not called that. Jesus did it for everyone. But we all been called to this generation that we live in, to this neighborhood, to this community, to this place where we work, and to our families. And what we want to do is we want to build that kind of a hero heart. Before we get into this, we got to understand, though, I think our culture is a little confused about heroes. And I read this article recently, and it was interesting. It compared heroes to celebrities. And to give you an example of how celebrities have been labeled heroes by literally an accidental thing that happened. In fact, a woman came, and she was came forward recently revealing that Gwyneth Paltrow saved her life, and she called her a hero.
and how she saved her life was that she nearly killed her by crashing into her with her own car. And this happened on September 11th, and this kept this lady from going to the World Trade Center where she works. So she missed her train because of a car accident. And she said, well, you know, if it wasn't from almost being killed in a car accident that I missed my train, if I wouldn't have had that wouldn't have happened, I would have been at the World Trade Centers when 9/11 happened. So that qualifies her as a hero for almost killing her, but saving her. There's a difference between being a hero and a celebrity. Heroes admire for their bravery and character. Celebrities are admired for their beauty and talent. Heroes are through growth, through suffering, and we respect them for that. Celebrities flounder in dysfunction, and we are amused by that, truthfully, right? Heroes make us feel unworthy to be in their presence, while celebrities make us feel special just to be near them. Heroes don't look for status recognition or payment. Celebrities look for the cameras and lucrative compensation. Heroes sacrifice for others, while celebrities enjoy the sacrifices of others for them. Heroes admit their thoughts, their faults. Celebrities flaunt their talents. Heroes deflect praise. Celebrities crave it. Heroes edify. Celebrities entertain. Celebrities are surrounded by crowds. Heroes walk alone. Celebrities consult focus groups, and heroes consult only their conscience. And so in this passage, we're going to see some real heroes and what made them so. And what they did was not flashy and was rather quiet behind the scenes of everything, but how they responded to the resistance, to the danger, made them heroes. So if you want to open up your notes here in Acts, we'll lead into that story. In fact, I'll just give you the first point in your Acts A in your notes. In the face of danger, what was their natural reflex is the question. So we start reading verse 23. When they were released, in other words, if we were in the chapter before, they had been taken under arrest by the chief priests and the Sadducees, and they were being put on trial because they healed a crippled. And they did that in demonstration of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And they were told, don't you dare do it again. Stop talking this gospel. Stop this nonsense. And so when they were released from that, they went with their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together to God. So A, in the face of danger, what was their natural reflex? It was prayer. Prayer. What would ours be? What would ours have been if we would have been in that situation? Maybe probably we go, hey, there's a new rule. Peter and John can no longer be together because it's too dangerous them to be together. We can't lose these leaders and the movement. It's all going to stop. In fact, we're going to take out a huge insurance policy on them because if we lose them, we'll have money and we can hire a celebrity to keep the movement. So maybe we need to have them drive separately. Maybe we'll get a bunch of limousines so they can't tell which one they're in, you know. We'll do something like that, and maybe we ought to change our messaging. You know, this messaging you guys have, that like you, when Peter goes, clearly you killed Christ, and you got to repent because he's the only way of salvation, that's a little bit of a hard message. Maybe we should talk about the lost sheep, huh? Can we start with that and make it easier? That's maybe possibly what we would have said. But when they were walking the Spirit, prayer is the natural reflex because you realize how dependent you are on the Holy Spirit. You depend on Him for everything. And like I did before, I said this earlier, we compare prayer to breathing. It is necessary. It is vital for your existence. In fact, the prayerlessness is not a self-discipline problem. Right? Nobody has to have a somebody to remind them, hey, are you breathing today? You breathe. Because you're dependent on it. And we're dependent on prayer. So prayerlessness is not a self-discipline problem. Prayerlessness is a sign that you're not walking in the Spirit. Prayer is a sign that you're not realizing how dependent you are on the gospel, on Jesus in your life. And you're willing and you're thinking that you could do it on your own, by your own understanding, by your own might, your own craftiness. So here's what the disciples understood. You don't fix an eternal, try to fix an eternal problem with external strategies, it won't last. There's a serious problem with the heart, and it only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit to have a change and have power. I mean, every day I wake up, I remind myself, right, that Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. Nothing. Abide in me, remain in me. How do we do it? We pray. We pray, so what is in me, the Spirit will come out. It'll affect how my job, my parenting, my marriage, I treat others. See, prayer should just come naturally. And if you have trouble maintaining an active prayer relationship, and by what I mean is like Bible says prayer with unceasing. It means like to be in a conversation with God all the time, to unload with him. And maybe have really intentional times of that, and that would be really good. But it's to have a walk with him in your life. And I would challenge you, if you do not have that kind of a prayer life, then ask the question, am I really feel like I'm dependent upon God in my life? See, the answer is not just to resolve to do better. It's to go back to the gospel, where you realize we are just desperate. I mean, the scripture says what? We are dead on our own without God. And yet God has intervened in us and given us life. It's a gift. And that life comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we realize this. We just sing, God has everything we need. And he's wanting to provide it for us. And how often we forfeit so much pain and sorrow because we did not go to him in prayer. So they went to him in prayer, and look what they prayed about, though. Acts 4 goes, he said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the anointed. For truly this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants. Wait a minute, stop. Look up here. Don't read on. No, no. What do you think they prayed for? What did they pray for? Did they pray for travel mercies? They pray for safety and security. They pray that, you know, those evil people would just, you know, fall away and stop bothering them. What do they pray for? Look back. Verse 29, they continue to speak. This is what they pray. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Boldness. So be what they pray for. They prayed for boldness. They asked for more boldness. Isn't boldness what got them into this mess? Boldness led them into this, and they're saying, we don't want to stop being bold. It doesn't matter the mess and the pain. It doesn't matter the persecution. I mean, that's not our typical prayer. We face persecution. We face pain. We go, God, take away the persecution. Take away the pain. Give us a new government. Give us a new leader. Lord, you know, maybe take this person to heaven sooner if they're not, you know, if they're a believer who's a pain. No. But before they prayed for that, they prayed for a positive outcome to come around them. They prayed that they'd be faithful with the Spirit that was in them. And that they'd be bold in the gospel, regardless of the outcome. That they remain faithful to the gospel and what it means to them and the boldness to preach it in its entire truth. So again, when you're in pain, and you're dealing with opposition to the gospel, what do you pray for? You pray for God to make you faithful, even when the path is painful. And why? To the glories of his gospel. What if we saw the more important than the easing of our pain was the other people coming to know the gospel? How would that change your prayer life? See, what if your pain and your way you endure the pain was the very thing that would reach somebody else's heart? Let's continue on. So while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So it really raises the question again, and you notice, where does this boldness, this courage like that come from? Where does it come from? Because, see, we kind of have a culture that, like, it's inside of you. If you want to be bold, you just got to dig down into the layers of yourself. You got to kind of build this resolve in yourself. And maybe what's really popular is you need to visualize everything. If you can visualize your victory, you can make your victory. You just got to have a huge positive attitude, and you can believe you can conquer your problems, you can overcome them. And if you see them being overcome and victorious, that's what's going to happen. You can proclaim your own reality. Or you just need a really good strategy or plan that you got to come up with. That's not what they did. Why did they have such boldness and courage like this? Where did it come from? A belief in God's sovereign purpose in your pain for his mission. They called out God's sovereignty. God, this is all happening according to your plan. We know that in everything, it is your way, and you're under control, and you have a purpose in all things, both good and bad. I mean, Jesus being died on a cross looked pretty bad, but it was God's plan. And part of going through the pain, going through this resistance, is progress in your plan. Even though it doesn't feel like it, it's overwhelming, what they're saying is, even though it's not comfortable, it's not the way we would choose and want it to be, we're going to trust it's your plan. We're going to choose to trust in you. I mean, just real practical example right here. We're going to show up in a pizza place, not on the beach, because it's your plan. We trust in you. See, what if the first thought in our problem was, God, you are sovereign. And you are going to use this problem for the accomplishing of your purpose. How would that change your perspective of your problem? See, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt you among the nations. I will exalt you on the earth. This is one of my favorite verses, but I'm also at the same time pretty frustrated because the sub-Christian culture has kind of stolen that verse and put it on mugs and made it with rainbows and baby angels and all sorts of stuff. And it is a supposedly now this verse that I'm going to have my Starbucks coffee and I'm going to sit there and have my Bible, maybe not, and just it's my place of tranquility of this verse. It's not really that's what it is. It's not about, hey, stopping your worst moments in your life of pain and difficulty. It's saying, you are God. Your ways are above my ways. You know way more than I know. You see the future that I can't see. You see all things, know all things, and I will trust in you. That you will exalt your name in the nations, and this problem is somehow going to contribute to your agenda. What would change about your perspective if you saw everything in your life, both good and bad, as the sovereign order of God given to you for the purpose of his mission? Something bad happens, you lose a job, your health takes a downturn. What if your first reaction is, well, God gave me this disability, this loss, this disease to help further his mission? What if our first reaction was, how can I leverage this situation for his mission, his glory? On the other hand, you get blessed with something. You got great talent and a lot of money, and you say, God, you gave me all this. How can I leverage this for your mission and your kingdom? Not build my own kingdom, but yours, God. See, be still and know that I am God. Be still. So before trying to fix the problem, reflect on God's sovereignty in the problem. That's what they're doing this verse. Being still and reminding themselves of God's sovereignty. Now, I know, especially for men, this is hard. Because we are fixers. And like my wife hates it when I want to be a fixer, especially around a house, because I'm not good at it. Some of you know that. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Right? So to be still and think about it and its purpose for it. See, the point is this. I put in your notes. Having faith in the problem is more important than fixing the problem. Having faith in a problem is more important than fixing a problem. You can ask the direction of the Spirit as you try to fix a problem. Be still, known in God, and He will exalt you among the nations. I mean, by the way, at Hope, we have, our visions are so grand. Why are our visions big? Why do we believe that God can do big things and we trust in that and have faith in that? Because we read the last chapter where God works and does. Where Jesus says, look, I'm going to build my church. And sometimes I feel like we're trying to attack the gates of hell with a water pistol. And all we're doing is shoot a little bit of water against it, trying to extinguish the flames. But I can tell you, so in every problem, there's every setback. I think the sovereign God has appointed this to happen. And He's going to use it for His glory. He turns our tragedies into triumphs. He turns our difficulties and puts them under His dominion. Okay, so God, show me how you're going to use this for your glory and make me bold to the point other people see you in the midst of it. B, the other thing that brought their courage is a knowledge of scriptures. Knowledge of scriptures. The first thing out of their mouth was prayer, and it was a prayer that was based on the Old Testament scriptures claiming the promises of God in them. You know what that shows is that they knew the scriptures. They knew what to pray in the right situation. Eugene Peterson said this. I think it's powerful. He said, true prayer is not just talking to God. It is answering God. God has already spoken in His word. Prayer is just a response to what He has said. The Bible is filled with over 3,000 promises of God. And you want to know those promises. God promised these things, and we ought to know them so we can claim them in those situations. Peyton Manning, many of you all know Peyton Manning, right, the quarterback? I mean, Peyton Manning is known as one of the hardest-working quarterbacks in watching film. And he would watch film and study film. Why? Because in any given situation, when anything would change, the defense, any place in the game, he wanted to know how to respond to it. That should be the same with us, with God promises. We should be building those into our life, into our heart and our mind. So anytime there's a situation, we can claim the promises of God. His word has been said, and pray it back to Him because of what He said, and talk it back to Him, what He's told us. And sometimes, as I say it loud. Sometimes prayer is to inform us of what we know. So we live by it, right? So we need to know the scriptures well enough. If life cuts us, you bleed the word of God. When life cuts, you bleed the word of God. See, what gave them boldness is admiration for the greatest hero. Admiration for their greatest hero. God answered this prayer. And it makes them bolder, and they're probably to get into more trouble to get arrested again. Do you ever think that got old? Hey, we're going to get emboldened, get arrested, get out, do this again, rinse, repeat, whatever, do it over. It'd be much easier for them to go back to their little holy huddle, keep their little house church, keep everybody with like-mindedness who supported them and loved them, cared for them around them. But no, they had a greater motivation upon them. They had something that was moving and captured their hearts and waking them, that they had to move, that was a rule in them. In fact, it's in Acts 5. Acts 5 really shows that. I'm going to jump to Acts 5. We're trying to go chapter by chapter, but this really gives into their hearts. Acts 5, 30-31 says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him in His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The word is leader there. It's key. It's an unusual word. It's a word, it's archikios in the Greek, and it's used in Hebrews, it translates in Hebrews 2:10 as captain, and the Greeks used that word for champion or hero. For example, it was the word that was used for Hercules. And the Greek had heroes, and their heroes the people were heroes because of their incredible powers. And so Peter gives this same title to Jesus, to be this hero, because he has power. But there's something significantly different about Jesus. You see, the Greek heroes all used their power to overcome their enemies. Jesus uses his power to actually not to defeat his enemies, but to die in weakness for his enemies, to save them. And that fundamentally changed these apostles, his followers, that they saw Jesus, who had all the power to raise the dead, to control the storms, to walk on water, to feed thousands, and do all these other things, to do all these miracles. And yet when he came to the cross and came to save himself, he did nothing but gave himself up. He didn't use his power for his own benefit or advantage, but he used it to even save the ones who nailed him there. And if Jesus was willing to do that with his life, why wouldn't they, his followers, be willing to risk their life too? If he gave his life for others to be saved, shouldn't we also be willing to risk and give our lives for others to be saved? And if God raised Jesus from the dead, when even it looked like the enemies devoured him, conquered him, it was all over, yet God raised him, that means that God's plans ultimately succeed. And if God's plans ultimately succeed, won't they ultimately succeed in us too? Even when it's not the plan we had, or looks like the plan we want, or as easy as the plan we want. See, believing the gospel is truly believing what Jesus truly did and what God did. What they said was accomplished. And when you believe in the gospel, it makes you generous and bold. Generosity comes from the fact that Jesus on the cross gave up and sacrificed his life. But the boldness, the power that they moved in was the power of the resurrection. That transformed them. And it took Jesus' defeat and brought a victory, and they saw that transformation, and apparently that would bring good out of whatever they go through. And Scripture reminds us, do not be weary of doing good. Do not give up. There will be a return for it. God's word does not return void. I mean, the resurrection shows us that our labor is not in vain. We're not always going to see the outcome, but we continue to labor. We're not always going to see the harvest, but we continue to plant seeds. Why? Because the Lord promised, your labor is not in vain. I will use it. So we keep praying. We keep sharing the stories. We keep doing good and showing kindness and love. And we keep leaning into the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the reason they had such courageous boldness is D, they had a generous spirit. Look in Acts 4:32, it says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Their boldness in witnessing was an extension of their generosity of life. They shared it freely, all of it freely. So when their boldness meant physical suffering, they were willing to do it. They're willing to give their very lives away. And if you're willing to give your very lives away, stuff really doesn't matter. You have different priorities. You have a kingdom priority, and you understand the importance. They didn't sit there and say, hey, we need safety. They didn't need that. They prayed for continued boldness and faithfulness. It's a lot different than what happens in American in our world today, doesn't it, with Christianity? We wither at the idea that someone might not like us, or we think we're weird, or others would talk about us. We get quiet. We clam up of sharing the gospel because we get so concerned about how they're going to respond and react. Folks, we need to repent from that. I was in high school, and I told this story. I'm not going to go with the whole story, but I when I was in a high school, in a Christian high school, and you had to make a choice whether you're really going to be a believer or not. And I had kids who harassed me and beat me for this at a Christian school. But you know what I realized? It continued through my life. We had our kids in a Christian school. And we made choices to live out the faith of it. And my kids did. And other kids would shun them for it. Other families would shun us for it because we were living what the scripture said, not just saying, well, you know, if everybody else is doing it, we should just do it. We actually cared about what the word said and the gospel said. I mean, even the craziness, when we start this, when we start my church in Michigan and start this church here, and as we're developing and going, and here we are, a church that goes to weird places, a bar, a pizza place, a beach, whatever, to do worship and do a little bit differently than our other brothers and sisters, and it's amazing how they criticize and attack. We should expect it. As my one teacher said to me, and his this line has stuck with me, and actually the picture, I could make a movie of it, because he was the PE teacher, was huge bulk, and was a black belt in karate. I mean, it just intimidating. But he just looked at me and just said, if they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you if you're following him. So don't act surprised. Stay bold. We need the Holy Spirit. And so they're courageous and bold. E, finally, was this. They were frequently being filled with the Holy Spirit. Frequently being filled with the Holy Spirit. We see this over and over again, is that they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He came so powerfully. The Holy Spirit came so powerfully. What? It shook the ground. What is significant about shaking? Whenever God comes down to earth, the earth seems to crumble at the weight of God. It's terrifying. There's earthquakes. There's lightning. But this time God comes, it's not terrifying. It's actually empowering. And why is that? Matthew 27, when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. At the resurrection, there was another one. It took the earthquake of judgment so we could see the earthquake of power. Look at the end of the verse. We shake now, not with fear, with boldness, I'm sorry, worship, because the God who has saved us, not lives inside of us, is a God who is for us. And if God is for us, who could be against us? Look at this thing. After a shaking, the place in which they were gathered, verse 31, was shaken, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The more the place shake, the Christians didn't get more fearful. They got more bold. Why? Because they knew the power of God was there. It was an important part. And see, unfortunately, in the church today, we kind of overlook this idea of being filled with the Spirit. That we got to be refilled with the Spirit. They kept repeatedly doing this, being filled and filled. Why? And so the question is, have you been filled with the Spirit? We've all maybe you've received, you've been baptized, you all receive the Holy Spirit. But to be filled is different than just having the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, it shakes you. It shakes you at your heart. It shakes you at your core. It awakens your heart to the presence of Jesus, the importance of the mission that's about you, to the power of God that is in you. They were shaken. It changed them, empowered them to go even stronger and bolder. There's a guy, Thomas Goodwin, explains it. What is it like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I love this analogy. It's a picture of a father and their son. And they're walking in the park. It's a nice day, and they're together. And the father, they're swinging arms, and the father just takes his boy and scoops him up and throws him up and is laughing and giggling, hugs him and sherbets him and tickles him and all that the stuff. And they're just smiles all over the place and joy and laughter. Gives him big hugs and kisses and puts him down. And the boy is just smiling alive. Now, nothing legally changed in this relationship. He's always been his son. But in that moment, he knew without a doubt he was loved. He was secure in that love, and that no matter what happened, his father was with him, and his father was overseeing him and watching all things. That is just what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That you truly know who you are and your purpose and your father and his love for you, his purpose for you. See, we should be asking for those moments. We should be seeking those moments. You say, God, I kind of get in my routine. I get in my rut. I get going through my life. And you know what? I fall asleep with you, God. My heart is asleep with you. It's not awakened by you. It's not full of life. It's full of all these worries of the world, all these things I have to do or things have to get done. See, sometimes, God, you just need to come and shake us. You need to wake us up out of this slumber into this wonderful light with the joy of your Holy Spirit, of your love for us, your grace. I mean, when's the last time you prayed to be frequently filled with the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you kept going, God, fill me? So much we go through, look, I'm saved, I'm good, and I'm going to just kind of keep doing church stuff. It's about a relationship. Our hero, Peter and John, they felt so desperately needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they weren't fine without it. In fact, look what Paul writes, Ephesians 3:19, our memory verse. He says, let's say it together. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be fully awake with his presence, his will, his mission among you. So the heroes of the church had a hero heart. They had a belief of a sovereign God and his mission. They had knowledge of the scriptures, admiration for the greatest hero, a generous spirit, and frequently filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's just something to think about. What's the one thing you need to focus on for you to have greater boldness and courage? What if that list is really not part of what's in your heart right now? You say, God, I just need you to grow me here. Like, if I would look at my life, this is not really part of my walk. And I'm going to ask you to make it a greater part. Let's just not leave it as this is just some good knowledge. Let's let truly God shape us to what he's calling us and sending us to. Let's pray. Lord, we so need you. I mean, that's why you really one of the reasons you command us to worship, because we're like kids that don't want to go to bed. We're just going to run and run and run on our own until we wear out and say, oh yeah, we need you. And you kind of put this Sabbath there and said, man, running 6 days without me is way too dangerous. I want to try to call you back. I want to put you in my arms. I want to pick you up. I want to love on you. I want to secure you to faith. I want to remind you of the goodness of the plans I have for you and what I've done for you. How I'm with you. Father, we thank you for your incredible word of promises that you have given to us. That reassure us, that give us hope, that give us that bold and courage. It's not something that we have to well up in us. It's the gift you give us, because these are truths, living truths. And so, Father, I pray that you would just, whatever we listed, Lord, that you would just grow that in us. I mean, you promise that. You can grow a church. It's not just like, hey, grow in numbers, but you grow us into being a more Christ-like disciple. And so, God, would you do that work in us, that we may be more and more like you and bear your image in greater ways. And so, Father, all these things in our hearts and minds that we're carrying around, we cast to you now in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, in our worship folder, you know, when you really encounter the cross of Jesus Christ, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, the cross in that time was a cuss word. Did you realize that? You didn't say the cross to anybody. That was a cuss word. Because it was cursed. And that's what Jesus went to. He went cursed because of our sins to save us. And that cross, when it shapes you and molds you, it turns you into a bold, generous person. And you have the opportunity to do that now and to continue your worship in our generosity with our worship and in our offerings. You can use the offering envelope that's in your worship folder, or you can go online or do the text to give, a QR code, all those things to carry that out. Also, in your worship folder, you see that connection card. If you want to turn to the back side of the connection card, man, you can share what you're celebrating today. And, man, if you haven't been baptized, there's a QR code that takes you right to the application. We'd love to help you wherever you are in your journey of faith. Please let us know. Hey, there's some ways to connect this week. Youth group on Wednesday nights. They also have the Youth Initiative, which is a great creative arts thing of music right now and worship for kids and different and technology and games. So, man, if you know some youth, Wednesday nights will be great. Roberto's there teaching, and Christy, it's a great time. Next week, we have our voters meeting. We got the chili cook-off coming up, and that's a great time of fellowship and also Cinco Bingo, which we've had entertained before. It's a lot of fun, a great time. You saw we did have a charge of $10, and that's just really to cover a lot of expenses and entertainment and also some prizes for those judges. And not judges from, I'm going to award the judges because they're going to vote for my chili. That's what I'm sorry. That was my confession to you that just came out. But really, we really want to, those people are making chili for a large group, and we want to have those who make chili be free because it is, groceries are more. And so this is your way to help support it, and it's a great time. Really encourage you to sign up to be part of that. Also, Stephen Ministry Training, a Healthy Boundaries Training. Mark your calendars for this. We have two incredible people coming in for a half-day training. One of our things about, we love to say, hey, we're building disciples, and one of the characteristics of a disciple we want to build is we call a 2 a.m. friend. That means a love with no ends. And an unconditional love. It's not judgmental. A love and someone you could call at any time would be there for you. But it's also important at how we learn to minister properly. And so we're bringing in Stephen Ministry Trainers, and these are excellent people. It'll be a great time. It'll help you in your life and your ministry and carrying out your mission. So please mark your calendars for that and sign up. Also, you have opportunities to serve for the chili cook-off. We do need greater members for the team, so if you want to help out, that would be grateful. And then we'd love to hear your prayer requests. And if you're new with us and, hey, you'd like to learn more about Hope, please put that on there. I would love to follow up with you, maybe get a cup of coffee, and just share about what our plans are, we see God doing, and what's our kind of critical path into building a community out here, and how do we are going to bless, when it can bless this community, and we'd love to have you be part of that. So please put that there. Let me connect with you. I would really appreciate some time to do that. So as we continue our worship, you can put those connection cards, and Tim's going to come around the bucket, and you can put them in there as we continue to worship.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me, I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup runneth over. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. Let's stand up. Let's stand up and worship God. Let's sing that again. The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm. on me. I won't fear. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, oh, he's holding me close. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, always hold me close. He always guides me.
Yeah.
Through mountains and valleys, His joy is refreshing, restores my soul. Mercy and goodness,
hey,
give me assurance that I'll see His glory face to face.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, I am not alone. Oh, He's my comfort, always holds me close.
Sing that again.
Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, always holds me close.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me. I won't fear.
Yeah.
I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. No, I won't fear. Hallelujah. My comfort always holds me close.
One more time.
Hallelujah, I am not alone.
Yeah.
He's my comfort, always holds me close.
Now before you go, receive this blessing. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See ya next month.